I don't talk about my vision, I show it. Marianne Biko.
Empowerment in education. Two powerful elements that will help you break free of convention and transform your passion for wellness to a level beyond the status quo. The Essential Oil Revolution, where you're given the tools to supersede an ordinary everyday lifestyle. Inspiring speakers, DIY recipes, healthy living tips, and more. You'll discover it all here. So tune in and get ready for a wellness revolution.
Hello, welcome. I'm your host, Samantha Lee Wright. Thanks for being here with me today. You know, I've been doing this show for over 6 years now, and I always told myself the day I stopped learning something new and exciting about essential oils would be the day that I stopped doing this podcast. And that day has yet to happen. Today's interview is a great example of just how exciting the world of essential oils continues to be. The scientific research that is done just keeps growing every single day. Dr. Dan Gubler, my guest today, talks us through the exciting scientific research behind what's called quorum sensing in relation to essential oils. If you've never heard of quorum sensing before, and that's quorum, Q-U-O-R-U-M, like a gathering of people, a quorum, then you are not alone. I had never heard this term before until Dr. Dan interviewed me on his podcast, Discover with Dr. Dan, and we started getting into this discussion about essential oils and their interactions with bacteria and viruses. You are going to love it. It's one of my favorite episodes to date. But of course, before we dive into the interview, as always, allow me to share my favorite oils of the past week. This week, I want to give a special shout out to our liver health. If you receive my email newsletter, then you've already gotten the invitation to join me for Sober October, a scientifically based blueprint to boost your liver health and support weight loss. Now, why am I so excited about going sober in October and focusing on my liver health? Recent statistics show a 41% increase in alcohol consumption among women since 2019, thanks to the COVID pandemic. And you might not know this, but if you are a regular drinker by the time you are 45 years old, you have a much higher chance of fatty liver. Don't know what fatty liver is? Well, it ain't good. Your liver is involved in over 500 functions of the body. Signs of a stressed out liver include things like fatigue, weight gain, bloating, allergies, poor sleep, swelling, PMS, moodiness, and did I mention weight gain? But something else that might surprise you is that taking just 4 weeks off of drinking can have a truly dramatic impact on your liver health. You don't have to go sober 365 days out of the year. If you do, good for you. But if you're like me, you enjoy imbibing from time to time. So if you want to join me for a Sober October challenge, it's going to be fun. It's going to be hard, but we're in it together. You can sign up below. Just look below in the show notes. There will be a link to join that challenge. And if you want to get on my newsletter, just go to any of my websites, revolutionoilspodcast.com or samanthaleewright.com. Sign up there so that you can make sure you get these kind of announcements in time. It's not too late, even if it's the middle of October. Go ahead and join. Lots of great resources for that. But I wanted to shout out to some essential oils that are really great for liver support. So if you have any of these oils around, these would be an amazing companion to a sober October journey, or if you just feel like you need to give your liver a little extra love. The big one here is Ledum essential oil. Ledum essential oil, L-E-D-U-M. It's one that you don't really typically see used for its aromatic purposes, but has a lot of therapeutic benefit. German chamomile, carrot seed, heliochrysum, geranium essential oil, those are all great. JuvaFlex or JuvaCleanse are two blends that are specifically designed for liver support. So any of those, you can make your own blend. You can use them as singles. Rub them over your liver area. Use a carrier oil to dilute it down. And bonus, if you have a castor oil pack or just a heat pack, but castor oil packs are really known for this, to drive the essential oils in deeper into your system a little faster, you can put that on top of there as well. Do that once or twice a day. Do it throughout your Sober October challenge if you'll be joining me for that. And let's all give our livers a little extra love this month. And as always, before our interview, let's pull a recipe out of our DIY dugout. These are recipes that have been submitted by you, our amazing listeners. This week's recipe follows along our Sober October theme, and it comes from Madeline Spiegelman in Dunwoody, Georgia, and it's called Liver Support. To make this liver support, blend in a 10 milliliter roller ball, add 10 drops Juvaflex, 5 drops fennel, and 6 drops grapefruit essential oil. Top with a carrier oil and then roll on liver in a clockwise motion each day. Thanks for that recipe, Madeline. I hope you'll be joining us for Sober October. Again, look below for a link to that challenge below in the show notes or on our website at revolutionoilspodcast.com.
Hello, dear friends. As an essential oil user, I know that you have probably come to not only appreciate, but to actually expect the powerful shift in emotions that you can get instantaneously when smelling your essential oils. When someone's dealing with the complex emotion of grief, life can get pretty heavy. Although emotions and essential oils can both be good allies, sometimes more is needed. I want to introduce you to a new podcast called A Place of Yes that is now available wherever you listen to podcasts. The host of the show is Heather Strother. Heather actually had a severe loss when she lost her 4-year-old son, Jack, suddenly to medical complications. 13 years later, now Heather is sharing the only way that she could move forward from the loss. This was by channeling her grief for the good and finding a place of yes. Now, her and her husband have created a nonprofit organization called Jack's Help from Heaven. Since then, they've helped hundreds of families with medically fragile children raise more than $1 million to help them to purchase with items that are not just medically necessary, but also convenient. Their goal is to improve the quality of life, and it offers you an opportunity to learn strategies to cope with grief and how to truly be there for someone that you love that is grieving. Now, sometimes the guests aren't just talking about the loss of a child, but the loss of a life they thought that they were going to live. And I know that we can all relate to that. Please listen to A Place of Yes now wherever you listen to podcasts. And also visit our sponsor at jackshelpfromheaven.org/news/podcast and learn about Heather and Brian's incredible nonprofit organization.
Hello, dear friends. In today's world, it's hard to maintain balance in any area of life. This includes in regard to our hormones. Let's face it, stress impacts everyone, and this affects our hormones. Compound stress on top of an already fluctuating cycle, and not so happy symptoms can result. Thankfully, we have essential oils to tame our mind and body, but a lot of times, many women need something more to keep their hormones at a healthy level. And that something more is where Happy Mammoth comes in. And right now, they are generously offering you 15% off your first order when you visit happymammoth.com and use promo code REVOLUTION. Happy Mammoth is a forward-thinking, all-natural wellness brand. They are obsessed with empowering people with quality natural health solutions aimed at promoting total body health and vitality. I love their comprehensive formula, Hormone Harmony, which contains herbal extracts that help to support hormonal levels, stress, mood, resiliency, and blood sugar. In fact, it contains adaptogenic herbs that help the body adapt to any kind of stressors. This can help to keep hormones in much better balance. Due to its synergy, Hormone Harmony formulation can be used for women in perimenopause, menopause, and any female with symptoms of hormone imbalances. What I love as a naturopathic and functional medicine doctor is that their products are third-party tested for quality and purity, free of heavy metals, and free from artificial fillers. For all these reasons, I am confident recommending Happy Mammoth to my clients and grateful to be supplied with my own bottle for a happier mood and less bloated belly during that time of the month. I am so pleased to have a company that stands behind women's health and optimizing wellness through science and education. So please support Happy Mammoth and the show. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com with promo code REVOLUTION at checkout. That's Happy MAMMOTH.com and use promo code REVOLUTION for 15% off your first order.
Welcome, everyone. I have with me here Dr. Dan Gubler, who's a natural product chemist that has traveled to every continent, discovering and researching bioactive compounds in plants and using them to help others. This is fascinating. Dan holds 16 patents and has developed 70 nutritional supplements that gross $500 million in annual sales. No easy task there. So, Dan, welcome to the show. I'm so excited to have you here today. And you're here as a result of me coming onto your show. You were kind enough to invite me on to speak to your audience about essential oils and natural living. But I will say I much prefer this arrangement where I get to ask the questions instead of answering them.
Awesome, Sam. Well, it's a delight to be with you today. It was fabulous having you on our show and educating our listeners about the wonders of essential oils and all the amazing benefits they have.
Well, one thing that came out of our conversation was this fascinating term I had never heard of before called quorum sensing. And we went into that a little bit, but I was like, you need to come onto the show. We need to just talk about that. That's all I want to talk about. So let's just dive in. Tell the people who are mostly already lovers of essential oils, this is one reason they can love their essential oils even more. What is quorum sensing?
Awesome. Yeah. So when it comes to the natural compounds in essential oils and the biological activity they exert, the mechanism by which they do it is quorum sensing. So quorum sensing is a way in which bacteria communicate with each other.
And so quorum, just to clarify, is Q-U-O-R-U-M, quorum, like you're holding a quorum, right? Like a speaking thing.
Yeah, exactly. The word quorum denotes a majority or a number needed in order to do something binding. So in business, if you're at a board meeting, you need a quorum present in order to make decisions that affect the entire company. Or in a religious organization, you need a quorum in order to do something. And so bacteria communicate with each other. Bacteria are single-cell organisms. They like to hang out with each other. But if they can't hang out with the same type of bacteria, they like to hang out with other types of bacteria and try to band together to survive. So bacteria constantly secrete small molecules. The scientific term is autoinducers. But basically, they're pushing out these small molecules. And these small molecules are floating back and forth between the bacteria. And it's a way that bacteria talk to each other. So they secrete autoinducers, and it's a way that they chat. And when they chat a lot, and when more bacteria get involved, they start talking, and the amount of these autoinducers increases to the point that when the concentration increases, it turns on different switches or genes in the bacteria that allow them to do different things.
And like, the autoinducer is, visualize that for me. Is it an actual physical material? Is it an energy signal? What does that communication look like?
Yeah, it's a physical material. It's a small molecule that is produced inside the cell of one bacteria. It's shuttled to the outside, and then it floats in the matrix in the water between bacteria. And then it's picked up by other bacteria and brought into the nucleus.
And it's basically saying like, hey, look at me over here. I've figured out how to make this person sick. Is that kind of what they're saying?
Yeah, it's basically saying, hey, is anyone out there? You know, I was watching, I don't know if you remember the movie Up. It's one of my favorite Disney movies.
It.
You know, with the dog, I can smell you. You know, it's these signals just throwing out like, hey, is anybody there? Are you out there? I can smell you. Hey, what's going on? And then a signal hopefully will be picked up from that bacteria from another one saying, hey, yeah, I'm here. Hey, what's up? How's it going? And so they start chatting.
Want to gang
each other.
Up? Aren't we stronger together?
Yeah, exactly. You know, they lament to each other, you know, oh, it's a hard world out here. You know, being a bacteria, I'm all alone. Oh, hey, you're out there. Let's band together. So they talk with each other. And when that signal becomes strong enough, when they start chatting with each other, then they start gossiping a little bit. Hey, how's it going? You know, this really stinks, doesn't it? And when that signal gets strong enough, then they have the ability to gang up and do things. And one of the things that bacteria like to do is to cause infection, to get people sick.
So they're talking to each other, they're chatting, they're commiserating. Oh, it's so hard being a lonely bacteria out here. Hey, you're not alone. I'm here too. Let's get together. And that act of that conversation, for lack of a better word, is that what leads that organism to start growing in quantity in the body? And that's what results in us being sick? Or kind of take me to the next step of what happens when this process is uninhibited.
Yeah. So one bacteria can never, ever get the body sick. Bacteria just flow in and out of the body harmlessly. It's when these bacteria, though, start to gang up, you know, so it's, I don't know, you know, like when you were younger and you gather around a home, you know, oh, well, you know, look at that. Well, and then, you know, the talk progresses to, oh, well, maybe we should throw an egg, right? You know, or why don't you throw an egg? Well, no, why don't you throw an egg? Or why don't we toilet paper the person's house? Or why don't this or that, right? And it just kind of gets to the point that action then starts to happen. So it's a difference between, you know, another example is crime. Crime's terrible, right? But if someone comes in and robs my home and takes stuff, that stinks for me. But for you, you know, who cares? You don't even know about it, you know, unless we happen to chat that day and I lament how terrible it is. But when organized crime happens, when a lot of these rogue bandits start to gang up and talk to each other and coordinate efforts, that's when global destruction happens. And that's what happens with bacteria. It's when they start to gang up, they talk to each other, that this quorum sensing mechanism is activated. And that's when they have the capability to cause damage. Before, when they're just kind of rogue on their own, they can't really do anything to hurt the body. But it's when they gang up, when they talk to each other, that's when they can really cause damage.
Okay. So a couple questions before we start diving into how this relates to essential oils. And I promise people it does. First question is this only with bacteria or does this also relate to viruses, parasites, molds, things like that?
This relates to viruses as well. Okay. Parasites, we're not quite sure, but bacteria definitely and viruses as well.
Interesting. All right. So how does this relate to essential oils?
Yeah. So in the scientific literature, there's been a lot of papers that have been published and more research coming on all the time showing that small molecules in essential oils. Now, your audience knows essential oils contains hundreds of really cool small bioactive compounds, terpenes, alkaloids, polyphenols, all sorts of really fancy scientific-y molecular terms that I love. And a lot of these compounds in essential oils are what we call quorum sensing inhibitors. So they have the ability to destroy the crosstalk between bacteria. So bacteria are chatting. They're using this language of talking, which is called quorum sensing. And small molecules from different types of essential oils can actually destroy that chatter. So it's basically going in and eavesdropping, espionage, spying, and then actually stopping the messages from being sent back and forth.
It's like shutting down the community. It's like cutting the phone wire.
It is. Yep. Cutting the phone wire, destroying their ability to communicate with each other. And when they can't communicate with each other, it's back to this lone bacteria in the big world, scared, can't really do anything, can't exert any power. And when bacteria are siloed, they die. Bacteria have to reproduce every 72 hours or so. And if the crosstalk isn't happening, if they're not getting stimuli in order to keep growing, then they die.
And the same with viruses. I always imagine viruses are just these single little organisms that are really good at just multiplying by themselves. But that's not the case. They need that communication.
They need that communication and crosstalk. This quorum sensing mechanism is vital for them to survive. And if they can't quorum sense with each other, then they disappear.
So interesting. So into the details of the how do we know this? So what studies have been done on which essential oils that have shown that they have this ability to inhibit that quorum sensing? And I'm trying to visualize how that even works. I love all the analogies, and I'm trying to put myself inside the body and be like, well, how do they do that? That's magic.
Yeah. Yeah. So one of the first essential oils where scientific studies have been done on this is clove essential oil. Clove is marvelous for a bunch of different health conditions, as you know. But clove contains a small molecule called eugenol. And eugenol is a polyphenol. It's a small organic compound. It helps with inflammation. But eugenol is also a really potent quorum sensing inhibitor. And it inhibits the crosstalk of a species of bacteria called Pseudomonas aeruginosa. Pseudomonas aeruginosa is one of the most prevalent species of bacteria around. It's everywhere. It's in the soil, it's on surfaces, and it's one of the big drivers that can get us sick. It's one of the bacteria that's collectively lumped into what we call common cold bacteria and viruses. You know, that we don't really know what it is, but it causes us sick. It makes us feel yucky. And so scientists did studies where they took a Pseudomonas aeruginosa. It's very easy to grow bacteria up. You know, we unintentionally do it in our bathrooms and our kitchens, and, you know, our kids sometimes do it in their rooms, right? Bacteria grow naturally. But they grew up bacteria on a petri dish, and then they treated that bacteria with this clove essential oil. And what they found is that wherever they dropped clove essential oil, the bacteria didn't grow. They didn't replicate. But when they looked in the microscope, the bacteria were still alive. The individual bacteria were sitting there, but they were immobilized. They weren't growing. And then what they did is then they took the clove essential oil away, and then the bacteria replicated normally. And so what they found is that this clove essential oil, especially a eugenol, inhibited the ability of that bacteria to grow.
Fascinating. So this is all done in a petri dish. Obviously, mm-hmm. This would be very difficult to see or necessarily prove what's happening inside the human body, but we can make those sort of assumptions and say, okay, if we can get this clove in our bodies, then maybe it can do this this inside too. Is there any information that you know of, Dan, that tells us maybe the amount of clove, the best methods for using it for these sort of applications?
When it comes to amounts, it is kind of hard to translate from a petri dish into the body. With clinical studies, we have done studies, though, on fecal samples. So fecal samples is an indicator of what type of bacteria are in the body. And so there are clinical studies that have been done where they've taken fecal samples, they've isolated the different bacteria that are in the feces, which is representative of the bacteria in our gut, which is responsible for the health of the immune system. And then they've also done dosing samples with essential oils, not just clove, but there's other essential oils that are known to inhibit quorum sensing. Some of those are cinnamon. We have rosemary, sweet chestnut, nutmeg, caper, cardamom, and coriander. And there's a few others, but those are the ones that the best science has been.
Yeah. Do those all have large, I'm thinking off the top of my head, large quantities of eugenol, or is there some other commonality?
The most common is the different types of terpenes that are in there. As you know, essential oils contain terpenes across the board. Terpenes vary, all of them contain pinene and myrcene and cymene and different terpenes like that. Terpenes are unique, though, to some essential oils. Some essential oils have terpenes that are not in others. Cinnamon, for instance, contains cinnamaldehyde. Cinnamaldehyde is not a terpene. It's an aldehyde, and it is one of the active components in cinnamon that's responsible for inhibiting quorum sensing. So in each of these ingredients, there's specific terpenes that inhibit quorum sensing, and then there's unique bioactive molecules specific, like eugenol for clove and cinnamaldehyde for cinnamon and vescalin for caper and other really cool compounds that we can draw chemical structures out and geek out about if anybody wanted to.
Yeah. Yeah. I can geek out. I have a chemical molecule on my arm. That's a tattoo.
I see that. I love it.
I can geek out on this stuff, even though I don't pretend to understand it half as well as you do, Dan. So that's why I love that you're here. This is so far just my favorite conversation I think I've ever had on this show. I'm just like in cloud nine over here. So
wow, this has been amazing.
I love it. I love it all. So let's talk about next. I want to get into why this is so cool or so important. Why is quorum sensing or inhibiting that quorum sensing different than just using really harsh chemicals to, let's say, go in and just kill all the bacteria?
Yeah. The thing we need to understand that really just makes this so amazing is the concept that bacteria are good. We are a living ecosystem. For every one human cell in the body, there are 10 bacterial cells. And the collection of bacteria that live inside of us make up what's called the microbiome. And the microbiome, we're a living ecosystem, such that it's caused us to reconsider what it means to be human, that we're not just a unicellular, single-celled human organism. We rely on bacteria to protect us, to help us, to reduce inflammation, to help promote the health of our skin. So we need bacteria. And in the 80s, it was all antibacterial, this or that. And it was the huge rage. Everything was antibacterial, from hand soap to body wash to obviously the disinfectants that we use. And we're killing bacteria indiscriminately. So when we take hand sanitizer with ethanol, we're killing all the bacteria that are there. Or bleach. When we take bleach and we wipe a surface, we're killing everything. And on any surface, the body, the skin, there are both good and bad bacteria. So when I'm using hand sanitizer and I'm sanitizing my hands, I'm killing the bad bacteria on my hands. And that's good. But I'm also killing thousands of different species of good bacteria that are vital for skin health, that are vital for communication, that are vital for water retention, membrane transfer, pigmentation, all sorts of different functions in the body. These bacteria are really important and vital for. And if we're constantly killing them off, then that's bad. And when we constantly kill off bad bacteria, what that can do is that can allow, when we're constantly killing off both good and bad bacteria, it can selectively bring in and increase growth of bad bacteria, like Staph aureus. So you might have heard of MRSA. It's a methicillin-resistant Staph aureus strain. It's a very hardy bacterial strain, and it grows really profusely. And so if we're constantly killing good bacteria and natural bacteria on the skin, then Staph aureus can naturally grow and become the dominant species on the skin and in the body, and that's a really bad thing.
So do we have evidence that essential oils are not going to do that same thing to the good bacteria? They're not going to inhibit, because I assume good bacteria need to communicate with each other too. So Do we know that essential oils protect that communication? How do they know it's a good guy or bad guy?
Yeah, that is the key question for this conversation. And the coolest part is good and bad bacteria, as far as we know, use different languages to communicate with each other. And so the language that bad bacteria use to chatter and that we're inhibiting via quorum sensing is fundamentally different than the language that good bacteria use.
That's mind-blowing.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
So when we're using essential oils and these compounds from plants, we are naturally inhibiting the ability of bad bacteria to grow. And bacteria in the gut and on the skin, it's dynamic. And so it's a surface war, a land war between good and bad bacteria. So if bad bacteria concentrations are increasing, then good bacteria must be going down and vice versa. And so if we are inhibiting the ability of bad bacteria to talk using bioactive compounds from essential oils, then bad bacteria are not able to talk, they're not able to communicate, they're not able to grow. And so what happens then, what naturally fills that void is good bacteria. They start to grow. They start to communicate. And so we swing the balance to having large amounts of good bacteria in the body, and bad bacteria are siloed and die off. And so that's the beautiful nature here of utilizing quorum sensing, is we're able to selectively inhibit the ability of bad bacteria to talk so that good bacteria take their rightful natural place at front and center in the body so that we can be healthy in all areas.
Yeah. A couple questions come to mind with this. And the first is, you hear arguments a lot from people that, let's take oregano essential oil as an example. You know, taking oregano essential oil, especially internally, like in a pill form, is going to, you know, wipe out your good bacteria, wipe out your gut, or, you know, overusing it is going to basically do what we're talking about, is killing, over-sanitizing. You know, I hear those arguments, but what you're saying is essentially that we know that that's not possible. We know that essential oils have that intelligence to know, this is a good bacteria and that's a bad bacteria. Or do we maybe not have enough evidence to say, well, we haven't really done this on all the essential oils, and, you know, maybe too much oregano, yeah, can kind of overdo it and wipe out the bad guys and the good guys. I don't know. Do you know much how deep this research has gone in those kind of questions?
Yeah, it's more the latter. We know that there's a lot of really good research that's been done. It's not exhaustive. And so there are essential oils potentially that you can obviously have too much of a good thing with anything. But there are likely some essential oils where the bioactive compounds are probably not good in the body. You know, we don't want to take everything into the body.
Right.
You know, I think a lot of times they say, well, it's a natural compound, so, you know, taking it into the, if we take one compound into the body, it's good, so we can take everything in. Well, no, that's not the case.
All
molecules are not designed to be put into the body for health benefits.
Yeah.
But what we've seen in the literature is that there are several that have been well studied. The ones that I mentioned have been well studied. I've done a lot of dosing concentrations and whatnot. So I have a product that I've developed called Brilliant Defend. That includes, it's an immune health product that you ingest, it's a capsule, and it includes a proprietary blend of essential oils that are quorum sensing inhibitors. And with that, we've actually done dose-dependent studies to see exactly what dosage we need.
Yeah, that's fascinating. Let's recap what those oils were again, that we have that real strong evidence that, yes, this is safe in the appropriate quantity inside the body, on the body, to achieve this inhibiting quorum sensing magic superhero stuff that we're talking about.
Yeah. So cardamom, coriander, cinnamon, clove bud oil, rosemary, sweet chestnut, nutmeg, and caper.
Very cool. Caper yeah. Essential oil. I've not heard of that one. I didn't know you could make essential oils out of caper.
Yeah, capers, you know, it's not mainstream, it's unique, but it has some really, really cool bioactive compounds that have a lot of good properties. And, you know, it's used in the Mediterranean diet and a lot of other places. And it really is a nice staple when it comes to supplying natural compounds for different aspects of health.
Tangent question, Dan, is do you know much about the difference between, let's just take one of these, for example, cinnamon essential oil, how cinnamon essential oil reacts in this capacity versus, let's put a bunch of freshly shaven cinnamon bark, dried cinnamon bark into our food and eat it. Do we know much of the difference that's happening in those different consistencies of essential oils?
Yeah. So the delivery form can vary when it's, when it's more the former, when it's in its oil form, like a clove bud oil. We know when we study the clove bud oil, that oil contains large amounts of eugenol. And and you mentioned cinnamon as well. Sorry. So clove bud oil, large amounts of eugenol. Same thing, the oil, cinnamon oil with the terpenes, the higher the terpene concentration in general, the better it is at inhibiting quorum sensing.
Yes, and that's generally, you don't find those in high quantities in the dried herb form.
That's right.
Not to say the dried herb forms are useless and don't have their place, but it's just, we're talking about very different kind of quantities and substances there.
Yeah, and when we're talking about the mode of action of quorum sensing, inhibiting quorum sensing, it seems like the essential oil form is more active with the terpenes. Obviously, cinnamon in different forms, with the powdered form with cinnamaldehyde and other polyphenols, that's good for other health properties.
I want to know, Dan, and this is probably an impossible question for you to answer, but as you're explaining how this works, how essential oils can go in and kind of differentiate the different communication styles, for lack of a better word, between the good and the bad bacteria and viruses and whatnot, it almost seems like these oils have some sense of moral judgment, right? Like they can go in and be like, oh, I hear you talking. You talk about bad stuff. You're trying to get this person sick. And then, oh, no, I see you. You guys are talking about all sorts of good philanthropic things over here. I mean, how is that even possible? It just kind of blows my mind to think of these oils that, you know, you almost... I call them intelligent all the time, but it's like, you know, how can they even have that sense of moral judgment, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's a fascinating question, and I don't claim to know the answer here, obviously, but there's a principle of chemical ecology where, you know, bacteria have been around for hundreds of thousands of years, living organisms, hundreds of thousands of years. So this process of chemical ecology, of things changing and modulating, potentially what's happening is that since bacteria and compounds from plants have been around for so long, there's this relationship that's been formed where it's a connection between good bacteria and compounds, good compounds from plants that encourage their growth, and bad bacteria and compounds from plants that discourage their growth. And so potentially there was some sifting and some evolutionary cycle that's been going on for hundreds of thousands of years that has potentially tuned the body to do that. So maybe not innately intelligent, but a process over thousands and thousands of years that has honed that intelligence in order to promote health of the body.
Yeah. So part of what you're saying is perhaps that these same kind of bacteria that are harmful to us are also harmful to plants. They've evolved and have grown to be like, oh yeah, we don't like these guys either. They're not good for us. And they've experienced that. And because we are both carbon-based and come from, you know, the same little protozoa back in the day, there's an intelligence there that we've all kind of evolved with together.
Yeah, that's right. You know, bad bacteria are a common enemy between both human and plant. And plants are amazing in the small molecules that they produce. Plants can't run, they can't jump, they can't hide. And so they can't wash their hands. That would be interesting to see. And so they've developed mechanisms on how to survive, and producing these bioactive compounds, these terpenes and polyphenols and whatnot to kill bacteria are one of the mechanisms that they've developed that is applicable in humans that we're able to use, thankfully, from plants in order to promote health as well.
Yeah. Fascinating. So, Dan, what other kind of applications can we see essential oils doing in this role of quorum sensing inhibiting?
Yeah, so immune health is obviously a big one. So we could take an immune health supplement that contains a quorum sensing blend like this product that I've developed that's seeing phenomenal results, where you take normal ingredients for immune health that we all know that are good, like colostrum, lactoferrin, elderberry, zinc, selenium, andrographis. And then if you include a blend, a quorum sensing inhibiting blend to an immune health supplement, then what you've done is not only are you using traditional immune health ingredients to promote health of the immune system, help it to overcome bad bacteria, but then you have this complementary mechanism of inhibiting the ability of bad bacteria to talk at all, right? So if bad bacteria can't talk at all, then you have a huge leg up when it comes to immune health. So it's a turbo booster, it's a supercharger to immune health supplement. And so that's an area that's really exciting. Some of the research that we've done that we're really excited about, the scientific clinical studies that we've done bear that out. So traditional immune health is one category that's really fascinating.
Yeah. You know, I because I represent a certain essential oil company, because of the FDA and all those laws, you know, we're a bit censored in the language we're allowed to use around essential oils and whatnot. And, you know, we're discouraged from saying things like, oh, you know, you're sick, take essential oils and they'll cure you. They'll make you feel better. But we can talk all day about how essential oils can work preventatively and proactively to help you stay well. And I think sometimes people think I just kind of say that because I can't really say the former. But what, you know, talking to you, there's so much evidence and so much science that really is how essential oils work their best as a preventative. Because once you feel sick, it's sort of like, okay, the bad bacteria have talked enough. They've gotten big enough that, you know, it's not necessarily impossible or too late to do anything about it. But really, the former is where this application of essential oils shines brightest, is let's prevent these bad bacteria from even getting to that point where you feel the sniffles coming on, right?
Yeah, that's right. It's all about proactive wellness or preventative care versus treatment sick care. You know, proactive wellness versus reactive wellness. A few other cool areas where quorum sensing can be applied are surface sprays. Right. So obviously we want to be able to cleanse surfaces and inhibit growth of bad bacteria. And so using essential oils and different combinations based on the scientific literature, some of the ones that we talked about today, that's an area that that you're well versed in that, obviously. One that's really cool when it comes to quorum sensing is a wound healing. So when we have a wound and we get cut and it pops open and it bleeds and it's terrible and whatnot, a lot of times you'll notice that wound is slow to heal. And when that wound is slow to heal, it's because of bad bacteria that actually get into that wound. So when I have a cut and it's opened up, I have bacteria that's on the surface of the skin already. So one quick side note is that if we were to use a ratio here, and if we were to say that the skin is 10 feet thick, then the surface of bacteria on top of the skin is 100 feet thick.
Wow.
So on our skin, we just have this huge surface of bacteria, just thousands and thousands of species of bacteria that are doing things that we don't even know what they're doing. A lot of them are doing a lot of really good things. A lot of them are adventitious. They want to do bad things. So when we cut open when we cut the skin, that huge pile of mush of bacteria slides into the body. And so it's hard for the body to heal a lot of times because it has to resolve, it has to get rid of all that bad bacteria. And, you know, it's payday, right? When the body gets cut and all that bad bacteria come in, it's game on.
It's so warm and wet in here. Love it.
Yeah, it's game on. You know, it's life and death survival, literally. So bad bacteria are trying to get a foothold in there to try to grow and survive. And so wounds can be really slow to heal because of bad bacteria that just stick in there and they're gutting it out and they're just trying with all their might to survive and to live there. So Neosporin and other things like that, antibacterial, those are good. But again, those are indiscriminate killers. They kill all types of bacteria, bad and good. So having some sort of an essential oil, a wound healing blend, and this is something that we have patented and I've developed as well, that you can put on there that can clear away the bad while keeping the good and allowing it to grow while the wound is healing is a really cool application.
That's fascinating. I love it. What is that specific product called? I want to link that in our show notes.
This product is not one that we're selling right now. Okay. We have it developing and we have a patent behind it, but it's not being sold right now.
Yeah. I'm so fascinated by the whole patenting process, especially when it comes to anything related to natural substances or essential oils, because I know it's not easy to patent things that come from natural sources, because you can't really say like, oh yeah, I invented this eugenol, I invented this clove oil, right? So I would love to talk maybe later about just that process. It sounds so fascinating, but I don't know if there's anything you want to share about that now. You're welcome to share anything relevant.
Yeah, no, it'd be fun to talk more about that. It is hard because, like you said, these are natural compounds. You can't say, oh, you know, I discovered this, it's mine. But when you combine composition with mode of action and clinical studies, if you layer those three things on, then the likelihood of being able to get a patent, it's difficult, but it's possible. And so the wound healing, we're doing a lot of really cool research there. And so essential oils, quorum sensing, and wound healing, that's an area that I don't think really anybody knows about in the general public. And so that's something that's fun. Another really interesting avenue when it comes to quorum sensing is the oral microbiome as well. So using quorum sensing inhibitors to promote health of the oral cavity is a big deal.
Okay. I mean, I always give the advice for, you know, take some coconut oil, add one or two drops of clove, swish it around, and, you know, anything that's going on dental wise, preventatively, or if you've like, you got a sore tooth or something, I always go there. That's just based on kind of, you know, traditional health practices and what we know about essential oils. So that makes total sense to me.
Yeah, exactly. So the application that you just mentioned there, perfect. What you're doing is it's scouring inside the oral cavity and any sort of bad bacteria that can cause damage to the body, growth will be stunted using that combination. And the oral microbiome is just an incredibly new frontier. There's bacteria in the oral cavity that are responsible for all aspects of health. There's good bacteria that produce nitric oxide, which is a vasodilator, which regulates gene expression. So when we're growing good bacteria in the oral cavity, they produce nitric oxide. We swallow the saliva containing nitric oxide. It gets down in the body. It turns on genes. There's just all sorts of really fascinating things going on with the oral microbiome. And so quorum sensing in relation to the oral microbiome is another frontier that's ripe for innovation and discovery. And we're doing some things there, not patented or anything, so I can't talk too much more about what's going on there. But that's another really cool avenue that we should expect to see some great discoveries coming out here in the next few years.
Dan, this has been so fascinating. I mean, I could just talk about this stuff all day, and I really appreciate you coming on and sharing all these amazing insights for us and letting us geek out over all the science. Always so much fun. So before you go, we always love to ask our guests these closing questions. And the first is just, what's one or two self-care practices you try to do every day to stay healthy? Emphasis on the try. We don't expect everyone to be perfect.
Yeah, exactly. It's all about strive, right? We fail, we try, we fail again, but it's all about getting up and keep getting going. For me, so I lost 60 pounds in my weight loss journey. I was at 210, 215 pounds. I wasn't happy with myself. And then fast forward 7 years, I've kept that 60 pounds off, and I feel great. Still a lot that I need to do, obviously. But the key for me, one of the things that helped me to lose that weight is no snacking in between meals. So there's a scientific concept called time-restricted feeding, TRF. And what they found is that when organisms, any organism, and it works on, you know, fruit flies all the way up to humans, when organisms eat only at specific periods of time and don't eat for longer periods, then health of the body is maintained, specifically because of insulin. So insulin is the master regulator of the body. Insulin is involved in burning fat. You can't burn one molecule of fat if insulin is high. Insulin is involved in carbohydrate storage, glucose metabolism and processing. And so when we continually eat and snack, our glucose levels remain high all day long and our insulin levels remain high all day long. So the body, the machine, the performance machine of the body that's meant to chew through fuel can't function.
How is that different than intermittent fasting?
Intermittent fasting is a similar concept. Intermittent fasting, though, is for longer periods of time. So one of the most popular types of intermittent fasting is an 18-6, where I eat my breakfast maybe at about 10 o'clock, and then I eat my dinner 6 hours later, and then I don't eat anything else 18 hours, you know, until the next morning. So, and there's different versions of intermittent fasting. There's an 18-6. There's what I described is kind of like a 4-4-12, where I eat breakfast, I wait 4 hours, I eat lunch, I wait 4 hours, I eat dinner. and then I wait 12 hours. And then there's OMAD.
I feel like that works best for me. I've tried different intermittent fasting, longer periods, and I find if I kind of skip breakfast and keep pushing it back, then I just like inhale food after that.
Yeah, right, right. Yeah. But for me, the principle of really limiting eating or not eating in different periods of time is huge, and it does wonders for the body.
Wonderful. And finally, Dan, what's just one thing we should all ditch completely and replace with something healthier today?
I propose a food vice swap. And what I mean by that is to take an inventory of what you like to eat. And we all have those things that are our vices, you know, whether it's ice cream or a certain type of chocolate candy or something like that.
Tacos,
right. You know, and specifically something with added sugar. Added sugar, when we look at metabolic health, is really the enemy. The additional sugar that's added in, that's in glucose form, that's not locked up with fiber. And so what I propose to everyone is to find a food that is your vice. So for me, it was peanut M&Ms. I'm not promoting any brand here or anything, but I love peanut M&Ms.
They're good.
Amazing, right? I don't know what it is.
I like to eat them with popcorn, like in a movie theater. Popcorn, peanut M&Ms, back to back.
Yeah, exactly. But they're amazing. Added sugar, obviously not good for us. So if there's something that you can do that you could swap it out. Now, a lot of times we just try to white knuckle it, right? You know, well, I'm not going to eat that ever, ever, ever again, or I'm just not going to do anything. Well, that's not going to work, right? So it's a substitution process. And so for me, taking peanut M&Ms and switching it out with some dark chocolate, I've gotten to the point that I love 100% dark chocolate that has 0 grams added sugar. And so doing that swap, you know, that does wonders for the body. And same sort of thing, you know, if our vice is ice cream, can we swap out traditional ice cream for maybe a keto ice cream that has less sugar? Or if my vice is brownies or baked goods, could I swap that out for, I don't know, cheese or figs or something, but to find a substitution.
Yeah. Yeah. And baby steps, you know, maybe you change your brownie mix to homemade brownies where you can control the sugar a lot more. And maybe you start cutting some of that sugar with some molasses or some honey or some maple syrup, like slowly, but slowly. So baby steps. I'm always a proponent for that. Dan, absolutely incredible to have you here on the show. Your website is feelbrilliant.com. What can people expect if they go there, or just what's the best way for them to be a part of your world?
Yeah, when they go to our website, they can check out our science-based products. We have this Brilliant Defend product that I talked about that inhibits bad bacteria chatter, inhibits quorum sensing. And so you can go there, check those out using the code RevolutionOils. You can get 10% off of your first order. You can follow me on Instagram. I share a lot of, you know, quorum sensing and different geeky things about plants and small molecules and lifestyle on my Instagram. It's Dr. Dan Gubler. And then the podcast. You'll be on the podcast here, Sam. I believe your episode goes live here real soon. And so if people want to learn more about health, the cutting edge, what's going on, that's what we like to geek out about and talk with world experts on.
Awesome. And that's Discover with Dr. Dan. So find that wherever you get your podcasts. Awesome, Dan. Thank you so much for sharing your wisdom with us here today on the Essential Oil Revolution. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, Sam. Pleasure.
The Essential Oil Revolution is created by me, Samantha Lee Wright. If you want to hang out with me on the internet, you can follow me on Instagram at Sam Lee Wright. But honestly, the most important way to stay in touch with all the things going on in the Essential Oil Revolution is to get on my newsletter. Go to revolutionoilspodcast.com, join the podcast newsletter there, and you'll get all sorts of insider tips, tricks, invites to events. It's about a weekly newsletter, give or take, and we have a lot of fun with it. We like to use a lot of gifts there. So go to revolutionoilspodcast.com and join the newsletter there. Thank you so much for tuning in. We'll catch you here again next week with a brand new episode of the Essential Oil Revolution. In the meantime, keep on learning, keep on discovering, and most importantly, keep on treating yourself well. You are worth it.